What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic. Welcome in the crease. 9:56 on a Tuesday night following Flyers hockey. That's right, two nights in a row, but this time a different result, one that we like so much better as the Flyers top the Buffalo Sabres in this one 3-0 here on 97.5 The Fanatic. They improved to 3-1-0 on the season. And while the Buffalo Sabres fall to 1-3-0 on the campaign, the Flyers now hit the road for four, starting on Thursday. And that, again, you can hear right here on 97.5 The Fanatic as they go on the road for two in Boston and then two next week in New Jersey where they take on the Devils. But tonight, let's talk about it. Let's get into what happened tonight. It's amazing that they're 3-1 right now. And no tie. So 3-1-0 right now. And we saw how poorly they played last night against the Sabres. And they fell, right? They got smashed. They got smacked. 6-1 last night in the game. Yeah, the first of a two-game series here that concluded tonight with the victory over the Buffalo Sabres. But last night they get smacked. And we look at them and we say, you know what? Even in those two wins that they had over the Pittsburgh Penguins, they still have not been the team that we thought that they would be. And look, it is an unusual season, as we know, starting late, getting started in January. The fact that they had minimal training camp, no preseason, just intra-squad scrimmages. And that's how they prepare for the start of the regular season. And with that, yet they're still 3-1. Tonight, even with the 3-0 victory, they didn't play a full 60 where you look at them and say, man, they just look unstoppable. No, this is, we think, right, what good teams do, even when you are not playing up to par totally, and you are still able to walk away after four games, and all of them being home helps if you're a good team, even though you have no fans in the building, so it doesn't really matter in that regard. But just being comfortable being at home on your ice, your locker room, sleeping in your bed, all those things, they're still 3-1. So they can either go up, or they can go down or basically stay steady with where they are. And I believe that many people look at this Flyers team coming into the start of the season and feel that this is the team that you're going to get. A team that will continue to pick up W's even in the tough times. But when they are good, man, are they really good. So it's encouraging to see that. It's encouraging to see that happen when you have your backup goaltender, as Brian Elliott is in, for Carter Hart tonight, giving him the night off. Played the first three games yesterday in the first half. He got away from him. They brought in Brian Elliott to close things out. Really only gave up one goal yesterday in the loss. The last one, the 6-1, we're not holding that one over his head. So, look, they're a good team. We know they're a good team. They have not yet played a complete game, and yet they are still in a very good spot right now. So as we get ready for this one, as we go until midnight tonight, it's 10 o'clock now right here on The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Your thoughts on the game tonight, what you saw from the squad. Do you agree that they have not played up to the standard yet they are still 3-1, which is a pretty good sign for them so early on in this particular start of the season? Two games against the Penguins, two games against the Sabres here, and now they hit the road for four, two in Boston, two in New Jersey. Kind of like, again, I like the schedule the way that it is. The goals tonight, Travis Konecny got them going in the second period. Could not get anything going overall as far as getting the puck in the net. Travis Konecny gets the first one on the board for the Philadelphia Flyers. And after that, in the third period, Jake Voracek and Kevin Hayes closing things out to separate them, specifically with Jake Voracek's goal to put them up 2-0. And still, you needed your goaltender and your defense to make sure that they didn't give up any opportunities, really. And they did the job tonight, and not putting so much on your goaltender and Brian Elliott. Look, they still have 40 shot attempts on goal against Brian Elliott. He stopped them all. The defense was solid. He was really good. And they did their part overall. An overall team win on this one. Elliott was really good with the 40 shots on goal, stopping all of them. On the other side, you had Johansson with 8 saves tonight on 8 shot attempts. And, of course, Hutton with the 20 shot attempts and giving up the one goal early on to, not early on, in the second period to Travis Konecny. So an overall team win. And this is who they are. This is something that I think we should expect all season long. While it may not be pretty yet, there's still plenty of time for them to get their skates underneath them and put themselves in a really good spot to compete and contend overall for a Stanley Cup opportunity in the National Hockey League. So Brian Elliott, very, very good tonight. And look, they found a way to get it done. And it was a lot of it to do with Elliott standing up and stopping all 40 shot attempts by Buffalo. So 610-632-0975. We continue to see the same Travis Konecny. Once again, he had the hat trick in game number 2 against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Now he has 4 on the season. Then you look at Kevin Hayes. He always just seems to find a way to get the puck in the net. And just thinking back to last season, where in the very beginning, where a lot of people were just concerned about the contract and what he may be, he's just a solid player overall for this team right now. And they're going to need him. They're going to need him. They're going to need Konecny. They're going to need the usual suspects to be good, to be great, in order for this team to be good. And the other thing is, look, as good as Carter Hart is, it's really nice to have someone like Brian Elliott behind them in those moments where he's going to need those nights off. When he can't play in the back-to-back, or he does play the back-to-backs and you want to give him, even with a day off as they travel to the next city, you want to give him a game off. And that next, when you have somebody that you flat out trust in Brian Elliott as a backup goaltender to Carter Hart. So this team just picking up where they left off. Not looking great, but still room for improvement, but nothing to be too concerned about. You want them to do certain things. You want them to be a little more consistent. You want them to play an overall complete game. Yet they are still showing you things that say once they fine tune this, once they get comfortable, they'll be perfectly fine as the things go along for this team. Frost got hurt in the game tonight. So you saw a little bit of Myers to start off the third period as, the way he was holding his shoulder, Morgan Frost, getting smacked into the boards like that, holding his shoulder. Sure, I didn't hear an update, and maybe I missed it as I walked out into the hallway, and maybe I didn't hear the guys on the call or Jason talk about the Frost injury. And so hopefully he's good as far as things go with their depth and their rotation overall. Myers coming in, just helping out where he needs to help out. That's why you have the depth that you do with the defenseman here, with Myers stepping in to start off the third period for Frost. So look, 610-632-0975. They're 3-1 on the season so far. They hit the ice again on Thursday. I believe it's a 7 o'clock puck drop right here on the Fanatic as they take on the Boston Bruins. And that is correct. It is a 7 o'clock puck drop, yes, on Thursday. Pardon me, say it again?
It's the first road game of the year.
Yeah, so it is the first road game. They have 4 at home. And a nice way to protect your home ice. With the 6 points, you get the 6 points. And you wish they would have had a little more because of the loss last night. But, hey, they found a way to get it done. No ties. They're 3-1-0 on the season. They have their 6 points. They are top of the East Division right now. And next, they travel to Boston, who is 1-1-1 right now on the season, getting ready to host the Flyers on that will be upcoming on Thursday.
Well, and the thing with these type of games, too, I mean, Pittsburgh a little less than with Buffalo, but most people expect Buffalo to not be a playoff team this year. Mm-hmm. I don't expect Pittsburgh to be a playoff team either as they start that rebuild, but they have talented players still. Like, Buffalo is top-heavy. They've got a really good first line, a couple of good second-line guys, but these are the kind of games that you need to win because you're going to get two with Boston. You're going to get two with the Rangers, two with the Islanders, two with Washington. You know, and you're going to repeat that cycle because these are the only teams that you're playing. So after you lose a game to a team that you shouldn't, and like Alain Vigneault said, you kind of get embarrassed in doing it, you come back out and you win this game, and not only win this game, but you throw a shutout with your backup goaltender. That is huge moving into probably the first big series of the year because A, it's Boston, and B, it's the first one on the road.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's good. It's good to see them make sure that they protect their home ice, get comfortable, and now if they start to get into a little bit of a groove, and again, it's still early, so not going to put it on them like that, especially since we didn't see much from them tonight where we would feel very comfortable, but just feel good in general overall because they were able to still walk away with the win, even though they're not playing a complete game yet. You just, maybe they're going the ice and that's going the road, and that's when they'll really start to kick it in gear for the team in general. And hey, you know, that'd be great, man. See this team really get started that way. That would be fantastic. So again, 610-632-0975. We're going to continue to talk about the Flyers as we go in the crease until midnight right here on the Fanatic. We're not going to ignore the topics of the day overall, the things to really catch up on, like the Philadelphia Eagles, who they just flat out continue to be the story as they are now interviewing everyone and look, I know it's a running joke at this point that they're interviewing everyone. And yes, they are interviewing everyone. I get it. Okay? They have to find the right person. So I'm not losing my mind that they are just going over and over and over all over the place to find the right head coach for this team, because they have to do their due diligence. They have to make sure with their due diligence that they find the right person for the squad. So I'm not mad at it. I'm not upset that they are taking so long. There's still a lot of candidates out there. Last night we focused heavily on Josh McDaniels as his name has started to surface as someone who could really, really be the guy for them. You know, potentially could be the guy for them when it's all said and done. We don't know that for a fact, but it might be something that we have to pay attention to in general when it comes to the team and Josh McDaniels being the choice for the Philadelphia Flyers, Philadelphia Eagles going forward. There are other names that we will get to that they have been setting up an interview with or have already talked to, like just giving you one off the top. Kellen Moore was a name that we already heard surfaced a little bit, and for sure it has come to fruition that they are really going to go out there and do it and interview Kellen Moore if they have not done so already. So they're a wide range of candidates that they are checking in on to find the right person for this gig here in Philadelphia. It's still a job, okay? It's still a job. And it is still the Philadelphia Eagles. As much as it may not look like it from afar, right? It's still a job. It's still one of 32. Philadelphia is still a big market. And I expect them to, I've said this and I'll say it one more time. I have no confidence in them right now. They're going to have to show me that they're going to do the right thing in hiring the right person to be the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. I have no idea who it's going to be. Josh McDaniels, of course I can talk myself into it because of where he comes from, the success that they've had, where he's been there as the offensive coordinator. Bill Belichick generally stays out of it. Yes, you've had arguably the best quarterback in history. You had him on your squad. So there's a lot there, but hey, like they still got it done. So you have to give him credit. You look at the things that were terrible with him, with Denver, the issue with Indianapolis that we focused on, but it doesn't mean he should not be interviewed and allow them to figure out if he's the one that's going to come in. The thing that I do have to talk about quickly, and I know we mentioned it briefly last night, but if we have a new audience and you didn't hear us talking about Josh McDaniels last night, here was my thing with him. He's not an awful candidate. You might even argue, since Brian Daboll is said to be staying in Buffalo as the OC for another season, you might argue that he's the best candidate, Josh McDaniels. So, but here's the thing. When he went to Denver, he had a lot. He had a lot of say in what was going on out there. We read last night in the 2 years that he was there, the argument that he got into, the 20-minute back and forth with Jay Cutler, forcing Jay Cutler and his agent, Cook, to walk out of the room, and Jay Cutler then thereafter saying, get me out of here. I don't care how you do it. Just do it. The fact that in Indianapolis, I don't think he was going to have a lot of say, but I'm sure he was going to have some say. And then he was able to put together his coaching staff. Here, we've been discussing over the past week and a half now where Howie Roseman is coming back. He has a lot of pull in the front office, obviously, as the guy. But when I say the pull, that means pull to make all the choices for the personnel when none of us trust him to do that. Is Jeffrey Lurie going to listen to us? No, he's not going to listen to us. And you could probably argue that he is very comfortable with him still here, Howie Roseman, because Howie Roseman is perfectly fine with Jeffrey Lurie helping with the calls and personnel when he has no business doing that either. Okay? So my point is, how are they going to do this, right? If McDaniels wants to come in and has some personnel say so with the type of players that, now look, I'm assuming that they're going to talk about the type of players they like, they're going to talk about what type of offense they're going to run. Are they on the same page with the type of players that they like in general when it comes to hiring a new coach? And with that, where's the collaboration going to come in? Is it going to be more Roseman, Lurie, or is it going to be more Roseman, new head coach, as you talk about what type of player that how it goes in the pecking order of eventually choosing, let's say in the draft, a player that you may like? One likes Devontae Smith, the other likes Ja'Marr Chase. How are you going to figure that out? Who's going to make the final call? I hope it's not you're not leaving it up to the owner and Jeffrey Lurie to make a decision like that. So that is where I'm very curious to find out how much say so and if McDaniels is going to want to come in and have a voice. The other part of that is, as Tyler and I were talking about this last night, and I was thinking about it on my drive home, let's hypothetically say Lurie does recognize the mistakes, right? He said as much. He said, yeah, we've missed on some, but he made the excuse of, well, if you have him on the board and someone takes him in front of you, does that mean you really missed on them? No, it's about who you missed on that went after you that then had success over the people that you chose, like the two wide receivers that we always focus on, or even taking it a step further with Cam Akers, J.K. Dobbins. I'm not going to mention Tyler's guy just because I don't want to upset him on this night at 10:15. You know what I mean, who's probably the rookie defensive player of the year, potentially. That you know what I'm saying? Not really, because maybe it's Chase Young, but you know what I'm saying. But what if Lurie hypothetically knows that, all right, Howie, we've given you all this time. You've made some mistakes. We have been collaborating on that. But McDaniels comes in, and maybe McDaniels can make some better calls on these players, and we'll see what the value is of how does it make Does it allow Howie to do his job much better with someone taking some of the responsibility off his plate, like Joe Douglas when he was here, now in the form of Josh McDaniels, who's going to be the head coach and maybe even the play caller, offensive coordinator, and whoever he brings in here, obviously, to help him out with that, but is also going to have a big voice when it comes to who he wants, what he wants on his team. So just a couple of different things to throw out there when it comes to not only McDaniels, but also the other candidates that could potentially land this job. I don't really know that there's a favorite because they've interviewed about 70 people in 7 days so far. And right? So I can't sit here and say one has an edge over the other at this point. I can't. We don't know. Who knows? It could be one of these candidates that they're interviewing late, right? When we think it's going to be Josh McDaniels after focusing so much on him last night. No idea. No clue. No clue whatsoever. So as we are in the crease talking about the Flyers win, 3-0 shutout over the Buffalo Sabres as they now post a 3-1-0 record on the season after the four games, all four at home, losing last night the first of the two-game series against the Sabres. The next up, they are on the road in Boston for two, starting on Thursday. They go Thursday, Saturday with the Bruins. Then they hit the road again Tuesday, Thursday in New Jersey as they take on the Devils. So a nice win for them tonight before they hit the road, feeling good about themselves, redeeming themselves after last night's poor performance, a 6-1 thrashing at the hands of the Buffalo Sabres last night. So again, 610-632-0975 to talk about that as the Flyers win. A great game by Brian Elliott, stopping all 40 shots that came his way. Travis Konecny scored to get them on the board in the second period, and they never looked back, picking up two more as they went on with Hayes later. And it was just good to see them pick up this win and bounce back from last night's loss. And Voracek, and we got the second goal in general in the third period. Kevin Hayes iced it for them later on to give them a 3-0 advantage, which made it really difficult for the Sabres to score those three goals late, obviously. So, all right, let's do it. 610-632-0975 of the coaching candidates that we are now starting to see. Are you tired of it and want them to just hire someone? Or are you fine with them taking their time and picking the right coach? Because even though I don't want them to be making this call, I don't have a choice because they are the ones that are going to be making this call. So I'm perfectly fine with them taking their time, making sure they do it right, and land the right person to be the next head coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. You know what it's going to be when it comes to what's next with the quarterback. Does this mean that he's staying? Even then, we don't know. We still don't know about that either. Is Carson Wentz going to be here? Is it going to be Jalen Hurts? None of us know. None of us know. So we're all just basically guessing when it comes to that. And right now, looking at this squad, just take your time, pick the right person, make sure that they are the right candidate for the job. And also, by the way, like we said last week, and we're going to continue to say so, even up until when the season starts, let them do their jobs. Whoever it is, let them do their job. Stay out of the way. Do not go out there and meddle with the roster. Just because you selected J.J. Arcega-Whiteside does not mean that he needs to be suiting up when he should not be suiting up. The same for Andre Dillard. If he's not good enough to be out there, you don't do it. If Jordan Mailata is the better player, then you do that. That's what they need to do. That's what they need to focus on doing. And staying out of the way and let their football people make football decisions for this team. All right? Okay. Thank you. 610-632. I know you're listening. You heard me. I say it and I'll continue to say it. Let the football people do their work. All right. 610-632-0975 in the crease as we take your phone calls until midnight following a Flyers victory. Now 3-1 on the season. Nice win for them tonight. Hopefully, they can keep this going as they hit the road for the first time this season. Nice shutout behind Brian Elliott. We want to take your phone calls on this squad and also the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll get to the Philadelphia 76ers as the Philadelphia 76ers are set to get back on the court. We believe they're going to be back on the court tomorrow. A lot of people practicing for the team. Joel Embiid, Doc Rivers said it looks like he's going to be good to go for tomorrow's game as they host the Boston Celtics for a two-game series here in Philadelphia. No Jason Tatum, still in the health and safety protocol, but it looks like everyone will be back, including possibly Seth Curry. It's been a while since we saw the Sixers starting five. I believe the last time we saw them was on the 6th of the month of this January, and it'd be nice to have them back against a shorthanded Boston team, but you cannot underestimate a Boston team nevertheless, especially with Jalen Brown still out there. Kemba Walker is back. Brad Stevens has those guys still playing. They're still at the top of the Eastern Conference right now, even missing a few games. Percentage-wise, they're at the top with the Sixers right behind Milwaukee as well. Even Indiana is right there also. So they're two-game series, no Jason Tatum, but it's not going to be a cakewalk against the Boston Celtics. So look, it's all on the table tonight. Flyers win 3-1. They are now, 3-0. They are now 3-1-0 on the season. We'll take your phone calls on that. How did you like what they look like tonight? And what do you believe this team is as they go forward? The Philadelphia Eagles, do you like that they are interviewing everybody at this point and not just jumping on the first name? They're taking their time to find the right head coach for the squad. I think that's the right thing to do. And I wonder where you guys are with that as well. We'll get the leftovers with Tyler Zuli in the 11 o'clock hour at 11:45. We'll hear from Tyler in general on these topics. Flyers win again. And the Eagles, 610-632-0975. We're in the crease talking Flyers mixed in with the Eagles until midnight right here on the Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Patrick makes a move, stripped of the puck coming out of his own zone. Right back in comes Lazar. He tried to put Patrick on his hip and lost control and actually fell. Lindblom outlets, and now behind the defense, Konechny's going to catch up to it. He walks right in, back in, he scores! Thomas Konechny with his fourth goal of the year, and the Flyers finally snap the scoreless tie late here in the second.
That's right. That's what got it started and pretty much finished it for them, even with the two goals later on from Jake Voracek and Kevin Hayes. Travis Konechny gets things started tonight at the center in South Philadelphia, the final game of a four-game homestand to start off the 2021 campaign. This is In the Crease. Devon Givens with you until midnight, 610-632-0975. Again, Flyers, 7 o'clock puck drop. They're back on the ice, this time on the road as they start off in Boston for two and then travel to New Jersey for two as well with a four-game trip overall. 610-632-0975. Your thoughts on the Flyers thus far through four games, a four-game homestand, 3-1-0. A nice shutout tonight against the Sabres. And with this team, as you look at them through the four games, have not played a full game as of yet, but they are still 3-1. It is still very early, but you just see the signs of things that you like about this team that has you believing that even with the lack of complete games, the overall 60 that you want to see from them, they're still very good, and they will just simply find ways to get the W's, because that's just who they are. And we saw some of it last season. We saw it in the bubble, saw it in the postseason. and now a second season under Vigneault and what he does and the system that he runs and the personnel that is here and back and the chemistry that they have, I think they're going to be fine. And it was nice to, once again, to see Brian Elliott in a backup role tonight, starting for Carter Hart, who struggled last night against the Sabres. Nice to see him go out there and stop all 40 that came his way while in net against the Sabres. Okay, 610-632-0975. And also, the Philadelphia Eagles, the coaching search continues. And where are you guys leaning as of right now? Do you like the fact that they are taking their time to find the right head coach to lead this team into the future? All right, let's start things off on the phones in the crease with our friend here first, and then we'll get to everybody. We'll get to Tyler's thoughts. Let's start with our friend in Plymouth meeting tonight, Brian, right here on the Fanatic. What's up, B?
Yo, D. How was your weekend?
Oh, it was good, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. It was relaxing, some good football, no complaints.
Yeah, that was some entertaining football we saw over the weekend.
Yes.
So perfect little highlight you played, but to lead into what I mainly wanted to talk about with the Flyers. But I mean, you know, as we talked about last year, this team has got so much young, legit skill, and they're deep. And you just talked about Elliott. I mean, having a reliable number two goalie behind your clear franchise goalie, that's awesome too. But and I haven't caught a ton of them this year, but to see the third period tonight, to see Nolan Patrick coming back strong from, you know, that migraine issue. I mean, this is a guy who was a legit number one overall pick in junior hockey. And, you know, hockey is kind of like basketball used to be, where guys, if they're blue chip guys, you can pretty much rely that they're going to be good players. And he was only held down by the injury concerns coming in. He's had injury problems here, but to my eye, it is obvious. Like, you see the skating ability, the skill, and it might even be like, you know, like a long term benefit slash, you know, the fact that he sat out a couple years, because he is a power forward, and it's really tough for a young power forward to come in and play that game when you're now all of a sudden you're playing with grown men and you're 19 years old and you're not fully grown into your body yet. You know, I really hope the migraine thing is behind them, because that is a crazy problem to have.
Yeah.
But they need this team really to take the next step. They need whoever it is, they need a truly legit top line forward that can be the focus of another team's defense through a playoff round and still produce. And then then everybody can slot in behind that, because the other team is focused on your top line. Your top line is still making things happen. And then other guys can produce against the lesser players on the other team. So, you know, whether that's Patrick, Konechny was just kind of a disappointment. I'm not sure what he was trying to do last year's playoffs, but I mean, it is possible that he could be a sniper type winger. So, you know, that's kind of a long shot, but it's a possibility. Or, you know, they certainly have enough nice young depth to go out and trade a couple of those guys for, you know, maybe some high-priced player that another cash-strapped team can't afford. So, but if we can get that internally, it just makes it so much easier, you know, that you don't have to desperately make a move because for the sake of making a move. And that's how Adam Oates happens, where,
you know. Right. Yeah, when they started going out there and getting those guys. But no, I hear you, man. And look, like you said, we talked about this a lot last season, where they had so much young talent and we were just unsure of when it was going to necessarily start to really take shape and click. And it clicked much faster than we thought. And that just rolled right into the postseason. They became the team that they became, and giving us the opportunity to see what is in store for the future, even with the veterans that were also there as well. So I'm happy with where they are. To your point about Patrick, that's one of the guys that I wanted to see this season, because of who, you know, who is he? Who could he be? And what could he be to mix in with everyone else? And hopefully we get to see him all season. And yeah, yeah, so that's good.
So out of curiosity, did he play last night? Because I mean, I would be definitely conservative in terms of playing him back to back. So, but you know, whatever. I'm just curious because I didn't get a chance to see the game last night.
Yeah, well, last night
apparently I didn't miss much.
Last night he did play last night. Okay. As well.
But I mean, if they feel comfortable with
he played
that,
15 minutes. He played 15 minutes last night, and he had 14:05 tonight. So yeah, yeah, he was able to get out there. So let's see what happens, man. You know, year number two for him, and
well, yeah. Actually, I think this is three at least. Right?
Well, three. He sat out all of last year, so three.
Well, it would depend. Like Donovan Mitchell would have a different definition than some of the rest of us.
Exactly, and so would Ben Simmons and his people. So. All right, B. Listen, man, thanks for the call.
Yeah, have a great night, man.
You too, man. We'll talk to you later. Appreciate you starting us off tonight. Yeah, and it's crazy because, like, look, when we say Ben Simmons, we'll say 4 years, even though it's been, what, five? This is year number five, and he's been on the floor for four of them. Is it? No, because 16, he was drafted. 16, 17, 17, 18, 18, 19, 19, 20. Yeah, so, yeah. And, That's how you look at it with Nolan Patrick, right? Selected in 17, gets his career started, and plays 148 games, misses the time last season. It's great. It's great to see him out there. 610-632-0975. So Tyler, bring you in here now. And ask you about tonight's game as you were in here with me as well. And they, once again, you know, backup goalie, you stepped in a little bit early, but backup goalie, get the job done, look pretty good.
Yeah, much more complete game today. I thought that, you know, a lot
much
of...
Much more, not...
Yeah, well, it so wasn't more. Perfect by any means. No, they're not close to perfect yet. You know how Doc Rivers kind of talks about a lot in his press conferences? That the Sixers aren't done growing and they're not done kind of maturing into the team that he expects them to be. Same can be said for the Flyers through the first four games. They're not close to where I believe that they should be. And that's not a knock. That is you're four games into a season that had a truncated training camp and no preseason whatsoever to speak of. So, you know, it's understandable that you are, you know, basically, you're effectively in preseason mode still because a lot of times they play five or six preseason games. So for the next two games still, their minds are almost in preseason mode and they can't be. So it's tough to get out of that mentality. What I saw tonight was, you know, you mentioned the 40 shots and the 40 saves. And of course, you have to make the saves that are put in front of you. But I think tonight, from the Sabres standpoint, it was quantity shots. Uh-huh. It wasn't a ton of quality shots. So I thought that the defense was significantly better despite the fact that the Sabres did take 40 shots on Brian Elliott. You know, it wasn't a perfect game, but it was closer to where they wanted to be than I think even than that they were definitely last night. And I think even in the two wins against Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, look, encouraging though. Encouraging again, not all the way there, but there enough where we're like, okay, all right, good. Let's just keep this rolling because this is who you are and good teams do what you're supposed to do overall. 610-632-0975. Flyers win 3-0. A shutout tonight over the Buffalo Sabres. They are now 3-1-0 on the season and haven't played a complete game as of yet, yet they still look pretty good. The work was done tonight behind a backup goaltender, so nice work by them. What did you make of this team so far through the four games at home as they now take the road and see what they have while on the road? 610-632-0975. And also, Tyler, before we get ready to get back into the phones, I ask you once again about the Philadelphia Eagles and their search for whatever coach they decide to go with. This is now their 60th candidate that they've interviewed today.
Yeah, 61. They just got done doing another one.
Oh, okay, my bad.
And here's the thing.
Good with it, by the way.
Yeah, here's the thing. I don't care how many guys they interview to get this thing right. I also am starting to feel like, because I've said this to you a ton, mm-hmm. and I know that you'll know exactly where I'm going when I ask you this. What's the one thing that I say every single time we talk about next year?
Go ahead.
It's going to be worse than it was this year.
No doubt.
So here's my thing.
Yeah.
If it's going to be worse than it was this year, and that makes me believe that, you know, with the way that sports are cyclical, even if you only have a one-year cavern and you start to come out of it better on the other side, 2022 is probably not going to be a very good season either.
Well, Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right
there. You know what I mean? Like, I know we're projecting way into the future, but we're looking at a team that probably needs 2 years minimum to get back to some kind of competency.
And I do believe that people recognize that next season, you shouldn't have your expectations really high. You should understand where this team is going to be next season with the changes that are going to have to be made with some of the veterans that do the work that they do now. They're going to be gone. They're going to be gone. Now, you might have wanted them to go, but guess what? You may not be able to then replace them with people of equal or even superior talent because of where you're going to be with your cap situation.
Well, then
you're going to have to. People should brace themselves that you're going to be a 4-6 win team potentially.
So then, let me ask you this: if they're potentially a 4-6 win team this year.
This year.
And next year, even if they draft well and get better and play a last place schedule for the second consecutive year, and they're a 6 or 7 or 8 win team.
Okay.
That's progression, but how much progression do you need to have whomever they hire to be the head coach get a third season? Or, you know.
You need to see growth each season. You need to see player development each season. You need to see some sort of system that they've put into place that you see the returns on certain players and say, once you get better players, that this will all come together.
But we expect that not to happen next season.
No.
Right? So you're looking at a head coach, whomever it is, that is here for a minimum of 3 years.
Yeah, but I don't look at it also like it's the Jets with Gase. You know, these guys that come in quickly and then they're out very fast because the team is just not performing very well.
Right.
As much as the Eagles need improvements, you would hope, man, how bad are they? I mean, when you say that and you just take a step back and you really, really think about it, and you, how bad are the Philadelphia Eagles with their roster that we're potentially looking at them, not like the Jaguars or the Jets, but more so along the lines of, you know what, you're going to be the Detroit Lions where you're going to be 7-9. Do you have enough talent or do you have anybody on par with what Kenny Galladay is or DeAndre Swift? Do you have a Matt Stafford on your, whether it's Carson Wentz or Jalen Hurts or someone else? Do you have that? Are you just going to be right there in that area over these next couple of seasons that you're talking about for the 3-year window for the next coach? Are you going to be there? Or are you going to be that team that is terrible in year one, but then makes that leap, the Buffalo Bills leap, where you are now looked at as, oh, you're that squad. This is why you were doing what you were doing. This is why. So I guess that, Ty, with, like we talk about with the 6th pick, is that going to be one that they move to get multiple?
Well, and that's
to
why.
Add to the talent pool.
If that's the case.
And
if
who's making the call?
Well, and that's a huge thing, too.
Yeah.
If that's the case, if we're talking about a team that might be in that second conversation that you just mentioned, where they're bad in year one and start to kind of ascend in year two. If that's the case, you've got to go against everything that I said over the last 2 weeks about hiring, a head coach with experience. If that's the case, you have to go for something brand new. You have to go for something innovative and something different. You can't hire somebody that's already been a head coach if you feel that way.
Well, but you already went different, and you went different who was not a head coach. While he did win you a Super Bowl, you were pulling all the strings. You didn't allow him to even pick his coaching staff. You selected his defensive coordinator before he even got here, and which prompted him to, maybe he never really wanted Mike Groh or Press Taylor, but because of the fact that you were always telling him what to do, that he said, you know what? I want them because you keep telling me I can't have them. Maybe that's what it was. So why are you going to go out there and do that again if you didn't have faith in these two to make the decisions for Peterson? Why are you going to be okay with it when they go out there for this time? And I'm not even going to bring up Deuce Daly. How about we just simply bring up Nick Sirianni, right? From the Indianapolis Colts, who's the offensive coordinator, who's really not, because Frank Wright calls the plays. What if it's Nick Sirianni and they're doing the same exact thing? Why is that going to make you feel comfortable and better about this team next season?
Well, and that's the thing. They can't do the same exact thing.
All right.
So
you might have to bring in someone who at least has coaching experience.
It gets you back to the middle ground. And right now, I don't think the middle ground's a good spot to be for this team. They've got to make a decision one way or the other. I don't know if either of them are the right decision.
So what is this team?
It's a great question, Devon, and it's kind of why I think that, I mean, quite honestly, while statistically speaking, I think Doug Peterson should have been fired, does it matter who is the head coach next year? For next year specifically?
Yeah, because like you're not bringing them in to just be a one-year guy to go get the next guy.
Well, right, but the thing is, if you're bringing them in for long-term, you do have to see something you like. Sure. Right? We know that the team's going to be bad, but you have to see, maybe it's you see a guy who can fix Carson Wentz. Maybe it's you see a guy who can make Jalen Hurts in year two, you know, take that next step. Maybe it's a guy who you can see not play the stupid picket fence defense that Jim Schwartz liked to use.
I'm guessing we won't see that very
often. One of those things, something has to give. I don't know if anything's going to.
Yeah, something definitely has to give with this team. It's infuriating right now to see where they are now that and what made it worse was, again, after doing everything that they did to talk about putting this team out there, competitive team, still trying to win. And look, we were all in, not all of us, because there were plenty of people who said this is the wrong thing to do. They shouldn't be out here spending money on this player. They should be making sure the money is allocated properly where they're not in a cap-strapped situation after the season. I was wrong about that. And some of the players that I wanted them to go out there and get this guy and that guy, go get the corner like Darius Slay, and thinking that they could still win at 9-7. Bad evaluation by me. That's on me. That's my fault. That they, I bought into that. That's on me. Now, with that being said, what really hurts me as far as feeling that they can do something is after listening to Jeffrey Lurie speak for the amount of time that he did and the nonsense that he said for 40 minutes where he said nothing. The only thing that he said is for 25 years, I've been doing the same thing when it comes to decision making.
I think the only
lie.
I think the only words that he actually used, like he didn't speak in between the words of football operations.
Yeah.
He used that word. I know that he used that word a lot.
And you know that ticked me off.
I know you didn't like that. But other than that, I don't think I heard him actually say anything tangible about the football team.
No, he did not. Except for we learned that he does make calls on certain things with this team that is ridiculous, because he should not be doing that. He just simply should not be doing that. So, don't know where this team is. All these names that are being thrown out there at this point. What can I tell you? What can I tell you? On the other side, we'll give you all the latest names as we still are talking about the Flyers. I know we got into it. Look, they just dominate the conversation. They don't have a coach. We want to know where they are going. They don't have a coach. Where are they going to be? Who are they going to bring in? Are they going to give Deuce an opportunity? And if they give Deuce an opportunity, are they going to give him a real opportunity to go out there and coach this team and not, once again, pull the strings for Deuce Staley? 610-632-0975. We're talking Flyers. They win in a shutout behind Brian Elliott's 40 saves. 3-0 over the Sabres. They're now 3-1 on the season. They hit the road for 4-2 in Boston starting on Thursday, and 2 in New Jersey starting on Tuesday, finishing up next Thursday in New Jersey, as they have 4 now on the road. I would like for them to come back after taking 3 of those 4 on the road. That would be nice, wouldn't it? That would be nice. We don't know if they're that team as of yet, but let's see how they respond to now having to hit the road and see where they are. All right, 610-632-0975. Eagles on the table. We'll update you on the Sixers and where we expect them to be tomorrow when they take the floor hosting the Boston Celtics for a 2-game series here in Philly over the next couple of days, Wednesday and Friday. 610-632-0975. In the crease, talking Flyers win over the Sabres. And a little Eagles talk. We'll mix in the Sixers and we'll tell you about the candidates, the Birds, latest right here on the Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Reinhardt runs in the hall behind the net, but Eichel comes to get it. Eichel on the left corner, turned through it at the net to save up high by Brian Elliott. That was a key save right there to keep it 1-0 Philadelphia. Now with a chance to clear, Gustafson lifts it out to center. 2-on-1 for the Flyers. Voracek joins Hayes out across in front, and Voracek scores! Jake Voracek on the pass by Kevin Hayes, and Voracek's got his first of the year to make it 2-0.
Bang, right there. Jake Voracek, 2-0 Flyers in the third period. And then an extra one from Kevin Hayes to close things out. Flyers win tonight. 3-0 in the shutout behind Jake, behind Brian Elliott. Shutout tonight. I was going Jake Elliott. Eagles on the mind as well with Jake Elliott. Yes, he...
Brian Elliott can play.
Yes, he can. Yes, he can. That's another one that they're going to have to address in the offseason, but they gave him money too, so he's also a cap hit. My goodness. All right, 610-632.
Ridiculous to ever have a cap hit for your kicker if he's not the best kicker in the league.
Unless his name is Justin Tucker.
Yeah, and he stunk at least stunk last weekend,
he's
too.
He's still Justin Tucker, right? So at least he hit the uprights, crossbars. At least he hit it, right? It's not like he went wide left, wide right, and missed
everything. So did Cody Parkey.
Yeah, but that's different. 610-632-0975. All right. Let's talk about this one as well. As far as Deuce Staley, if you had your choice between Josh McDaniels and Deuce Staley, which one is it? Which one is it? You can argue, first of all, that Deuce Staley just flat out, he's been there forever. It doesn't mean, though, that he should get the job. It just means that they have faith in him. They keep him around. And when they keep him around, all you hear from the players is, hey, you know, he's this, he's that. He should get an opportunity. Everybody starts somewhere, and they get their chance. Is this Deuce's opportunity? No one's asking. I don't remember, maybe in the past, that Deuce Staley has gone out there and interviewed for something, but I don't really remember Deuce being a candidate anywhere where he's been interviewed in other places. It's not to say that he isn't, you know, ready for it. I just don't remember something like that. And if he does, is he going to sit there and take what he saw happening to Doug Peterson to get the gig? I don't know. I don't know. Dennis Allen also with the New Orleans Saints, he was expected to interview today with the Birds. Didn't happen, probably because they're interviewing everybody. Kellen Moore as well, also apparently reportedly interviewing with them today. I can't keep up. Maybe you can't keep up. It's all over the place. It's a problem. And a part of the problem is if the quarterback, based on the stories that we've heard and the one that we read in Jeff McClain's article, who was on with Anthony earlier today, if Carson Wentz doesn't believe that he's fixable, then you're in the back spot and he can't be fixed. So then what? It's hard to ask a coach what they're going to do with Carson Wentz when Carson Wentz is not coachable and doesn't allow you to help fix him, if that makes sense. If that makes sense. So I'm looking at it. I think it's going to be Josh McDaniels. I just feel like that it's going to be Josh McDaniels. That's just where I am right now. I believe that's going to be the case. Howie Roseman likes him, apparently, based on the reports and all that we've read. Howie likes him. You know Lurie wants to interview and get everything out of him. Now what? Now what? Now we wait. Now we wait and see. Will it be this week? Will it be next week when they finally make a decision on their new head coach? If I had to choose between the two, as Tyler was saying, do you go with a new voice? Do you go with somebody who has at least a head coaching experience? I have to be honest, I would probably go with McDaniels over Deuce Staley. Not a popular one because at this point you're saying, why not just give Deuce a chance and see if it works out? I would probably go with the guy who, has the experience already over Deuce Staley. And part of that is because of what they've done now to Doug Peterson. I don't want to see that happen to Deuce Staley, where I would believe that Josh McDaniels coming in with the reputation that he does have, even as an offensive coordinator, and a failed experiment with the Denver Broncos, that he would be in a position to bite back at them, where I believe that Deuce Staley can bite back at them, but would they take it? 610-632-0975. I see you put up a poll, a Twitter poll, there, Tyler Zuli, with Deuce Staley and Josh McDaniels. What's the Twitter poll?
Yeah, we did. So you asked, so we figured we might as well put it to a poll. If you had the choice between Deuce Staley and Josh McDaniels as the Eagles' next head coach, who would you choose? I put it up for a day, so we'll be able to look back on it this time tomorrow.
Okay, 11 o'clock tomorrow.
As we wrap up in the post.
Okay.
So far, 215 votes. Two-thirds of the people, 66%, say they'd rather Deuce Staley, 34%. Say they would rather Josh McDaniels.
And right away, I see that Jack on Twitter, Jack08J, says the fact that this is a serious question shows how stupid Eagle fans and the media in this town are. Well, Jack,
I mean, I'm not very intelligent, but I don't think there's any need for that.
No, I don't think so either, Jack. I think that it's a serious question just because of the fact that there are many people who cannot stand Josh McDaniels because of his connection with the New England Patriots. That's a real thing. So I don't think it's a stupid question. I think it's a serious question that is worthy of tossing out there for people to answer that and see where it goes. Dan then follows up and says, does McDaniels get cold feet again? Or that's the question mark. So you see what I'm saying, Jack? That's what we have here. Does McDaniels get cold feet again? Because people are looking at that one and saying, we're not dealing with that. No way. No how. No way, no how. So I'm going to vote for Deuce Staley right now. And Deuce Staley is winning right now, as Tyler said, 65% of the votes over Josh McDaniels. But then we have a GIF of Josh McDaniels with Sean and saying, this guy, right? Elbow Shaferi. A little while ago, he came on and talked about the Flyers. Did Brian? Here is his Josh McDaniels and Deuce Staley point. It is only a job, though, if there's job security. I do not want to see Deuce's coaching career ruined by serving as cannon fodder frontman for a doomed team for one season. Bleep Josh McDaniels. I'm done if they hire him. But to the Deuce point that Brian is talking about, again, I don't want Deuce Staley getting the job if they're just going to sit there and pull the strings for him and then he's fired. Follows up. Also, my McDaniels sports hate has nothing to do with the Patriots and everything to do with his disastrous Broncos tenure, and the Colts nonsense doesn't help either. See, that was when he was 32, 33 years of age. He had two seasons. Well, one full season. They got rid of him week 13 and after 12 games, and they had enough at that point. They had seen enough in those two seasons, second season, 13 weeks, 12 games. They pressed the button. They got him out of there. Okay? They got him out of there. So to the question again put out there by Jack, is this really a serious question? How stupid are the Eagle fans in the media in this town? It's a serious question because people do not like Josh McDaniels. Jack, but appreciate it, man. Robert says, Rob, only one of them is the Eagle, so should be that simple. Then you have the next one here on Twitter. Deuce can't handle the running back rotation. Should have been fired years ago. So you see what I'm saying, Jack? You see where it all goes all over the place for Eagle fans right now when you just ask about the two people? That's where it goes. So, Jack, it is a question. Some are on McDaniels. Some, right, are on the other side. 610-632-0975. That's all we're saying. That's all we're saying. All right. Brian says on Twitter, can I call back in? You don't take a job and then immediately trade the franchise quarterback that is already there. Jay Cutler, we talked about it last night. The guy is a weasel. No matter what you think of Cutler, don't take the job in the first place if you don't have a plan for the quarterback. Well, then you had Kyle Orton and all the other stuff, and then you draft Marius Thomas and Tim Tebow later on in the first round. So, I got you, B. I hear you. BD Who says Deuce needs a promotion. Well, he gets promoted every year. He just doesn't get a coordinator job and then the head coaching job. He gets the title of assistant coach or whatever he called they call him. That's what he gets. All right, let's go. As we haven't forgot about the Flyers. They win. Shutout 3-0. They're 3-1-0 on the season. Hit the road for 4 starting in Boston on Thursday night, right here at 7 o'clock. Puck drop right here on the Fanatic. Let's go to Mark in Collegeville with us next on the Fanatic. Mark, what's up, man?
Devon, good evening. How you been, man? I haven't talked to you in a minute, so I just wanted to give you a call. And,
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man. Basically, I mean, I don't really have a candidate to throw out there as who the Eagles should go with. The only thing I just want to kind of say and voice my opinion on, I guess, and it doesn't really matter, but between McDaniels and Staley, McDaniels, I mean, he has the pedigree. He's coached before, but the problem is, you know, he drafted Tim Tebow. He could have, you know, I think there's other quarterbacks out there that, you know, panned out better and such like that. I just don't have it off the top of my head, but, you know, with him, and the other thing I'm afraid of is, does he try to bring in that Patriot way? And just knowing, like, the franchise of Philly, I don't think that's really going to fly with the players. Now, you got the players all voicing their opinion for Staley, and I get it why, you know, he's coached them and everything like that, and he's a former player. I mean, and respectfully so, people are going to question, does he have the pedigree? But at the end of the day, if it was just down to those two candidates, and just these two, there's other people out there you could look at. But do you go, like, I mean, is there going to be a revolt within week five, you know, if McDaniels is the coach because of, you know, him trying to institute maybe a Belichick way or something, or, you know, not letting the players be as free as they like to be in Philly?
Right.
Or do you go with the guy that you don't know necessarily, he hasn't coached like a quarterback and had to call plays and such like that, but the players are going to play for him. So if it's just those two candidates at the end of the day, as much as, like, I mean, I don't know what Staley can bring for game planning and everything right. like that. Yeah. But I will say this. We always forget about what did Peterson and Reed always do a lot? They forgot to run the ball and they would get away from it, especially when it was working. Staley, I don't think, would at least he would know to get the running backs involved more and keep them involved. But like I said, if you had a gun to my, at my head right now and I had to pick one or the other, I'm actually going to pick Staley just because at least I know the players would play for him. And, you know, I don't think he'd be as arrogant and, you know, he'd hire good people and make sure that he's got good candidates to cover the defense and the offense and to make sure that they got his back. But at the end of the day, if the players aren't playing for you, you know, you're going to get, you know, destroyed. So, I mean, that's what I just wanted to talk about and see what you thought about that.
All right. And I'll answer that one, but I do want to ask you quickly, where do you feel this franchise is right now?
I'm kind of like, you know what? You know, I don't think you'll like my opinion because the problem is, you know, we still got Howie and Lori in there. And if Lori starts turning like this Jerry Jones, you know, and he can't have his way changed or anything like that and wants to be calling these football moves, I think we're going down that same road.
I agree.
I mean, we got to get rid of, and I like Wentz, but if this uncoachable thing is true,
You know, and what's the model of the NFL? Cheap quarterback, get talent around him as long as he's good. We have Hurts, and as fortunately, as much as I'd like to see Wentz, I think he needs a new scenery. We have to get him off the cap so we can surround Hurts with talent. And I think, and you know, and Lori has to be okay with that. But if he's saying we have to keep Carson, then I'm, you know, we're going to be in purgatory, if not hell, but we're not going to be seeing heaven anytime soon.
No, and great stuff, Mark. Good to catch up with you, man. Always good to catch up with you. Good to hear from you.
Hey, Devon, thanks, man. Hey, good to catch up with you.
You got it. Now, as far as the, as far as what he was saying about, you know, the team in general and where they are right now. He said that about where they are right now. But the Deuce Daly part in the respect that he would have in the locker room, I believe that to be true. Now, you know, a lot of that stuff changes when you become the head guy. But what I do think he will do is he will delegate the right way, right? He'll have the offensive coordinator. He'll have the defensive coordinator. He'll probably have his fingerprints on some of the offensive game plan and saying, hey, yo, Brian Westbrook, we're not running enough, right? B. West is the OC. We're not running enough. We need more. Jason Avant's the OC. Jay, we need more. Stop throwing the ball all the time. We need some runs in there. So, Mark, I think you're right that he would have the respect in there and all of that, and he would delegate. It's just a matter of, look, I mean, I'm not, when guys like this, you know they can coach. Can you coach to win? And that's the thing, because 15 scripted, bang, all right, got it. Now as the game is starting to go on, goes on, who are you? Who are you? What are you doing? What type of stuff are you doing to get us this big lead? We see this working. Are we going to keep going to it? Are we going to mix things up? Are we going to be creative? All the things that we worked on, where are we going in the moment right now? And I just wonder if that's going to be the case. Are they going to allow him to grow as a coach? Are they going to allow him to grow?
Well, and that brings us back to the point we were talking about a half an hour ago, you know, or 25 minutes ago, or whatever it was. With the expectation of next year not going to be a good year, and probably 2022 as well, the allowance of growth is something that we're going to have to almost just play wait and see on, because, like you said, are they just bringing in somebody to be like a bridge coach for a bad team before you bring somebody else in who you mm-hmm. feel like is the guy to get them back to prominence?
So it's like what we thought Brown was for the Sixers?
Yeah.
That type of thing?
Yeah, well, and the thing is, too,
we build it up, we bring in the next guy to get us over the top.
Well, but the thing is, like, the Sixers allowed Brett Brown three opportunities to get better. And they never did. They never got past the second round. But he had three legitimate teams, you know, and maybe not finals contenders, but three legitimate playoff teams to try to get better. If you're going to bring in a guy like Deuce Daly or a guy like Josh McDaniels who are younger and you want to allow them that opportunity to grow with this team, then you're looking at a coach that's probably going to be the head coach for 5 years, you would think.
Right.
Is that something you're comfortable with? Whomever it is. Just allowing a coach to kind of deal with the bad to get to the good.
Yeah. I don't, and I was looking at Shiel just a few minutes ago, about 9 minutes ago. Shiel Kapati of The Athletic covers the Birds, the NFL. Covering the NFL, basically, but of course based here in Philadelphia, covering the Birds. And he was responding to a tweet from someone, I'm guessing, here's what he says. Basically, the guy Fantasy Snob says, he's replying to Ruben Frank from NBC Sports Philadelphia in his story. Does nobody also read Shiel Kapati? Why are so many people upset at the Eagles interviewing a bunch of people for the most important position? It's literally a best practice for any role in any industry. And Shiel says, don't know if Eagles have a plan, but interviewing a lot of people is good. Aside from the obvious reasons, candidates bring best ideas to the table. You can steal, quote, them to improve your organization. Also, process can help when you're making hires down the road. Absolutely. You can see where guys are. You can, hey, all right, the number one thing is, what about our quarterback? What do you want to do about our quarterback? This is what I think you should do. All right, boom. Guess what? Kellen Moore doesn't get the job. He's back in Dallas. He just gave you a little bit of stuff. Here's what I would fix here, Jeffrey and Howie. Let me fix this. Let me tell you what I would do to fix this. And then that's the way you go. That's what you do. 610-632-0975. By the way, Villanova does pick up the win tonight over the Seton Hall squad. They're back at it after missing so many days because of COVID and having to cancel all the things, right, because of COVID and protocol. They had to take some time off. Well, Villanova comes back out there, the number three team in the country, and they knock off Seton Hall 76-74. So, tough Big East battle. But at the end of the day, what happened? They walk away victorious. Tyler, your Penn State squad, they fall 79-65 to Illinois.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Unfortunately.
They stink.
My man Isaiah only had six tonight. That's why they lost, because Isaiah only had six.
Jim Ferry was fined $10,000 the other day.
Was he?
Or, well, today, but for, I guess, actions on the floor in their last game.
Tell him to settle down.
Yeah, I don't think he was too happy with the officials.
Tell him to settle down. Tell him to settle down. 610-632-0975. Whoa. Springer, were you going to put this in your...
No, I just put it up on the board for you. That's you just, all.
Oh, okay.
That was for you. That was public consumption.
George Springer, 6 years, 150?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be a good team.
Yeah. They were already good. Now they're really good. All right. Deal with the Toronto Blue Jays, 6 years, 150. As John Heyman says, 6 years, 250. And then Jeff Passan follows up. In this market, that is a massive deal. Toronto paid a premium price for a premium player. They got it.
So you look at 6 and 150 for a guy like Springer, who is going to probably play 155 games out of the year. He doesn't miss many games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless he's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That probably, I mean, a lot of times markets don't set themselves on other positional markets. Like, that doesn't impact JT Realmuto in a normal market, but with the way that obviously COVID has messed up the market for most of these teams, JT's not getting nearly that. So the number probably is going to go down from what he wants.
Right. Yeah. Well, remember the offer, according to Jason Stark, 5 years, nine figures.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's already there. It's already.
But
there.
That's, I mean, that's a huge difference.
Maybe he needs to take it.
Even if he got a sixth year, you're looking at 6 and 120.
Yeah.
And that's $5 million a year short of what Springer just got.
Probably need to just take it. Take it.
Well, it's that or a one-year deal at this point.
Well, the one-year deal and hit the market again, you might be right.
I don't think that's smart at his age.
You might be right. By the way, Brian Elliott, again, leading the team tonight to the win, 3-0 shutout over the Sabres. And according to the NHL Public Relations, Brian Elliott turned aside to all 40 shots he faced to earn his first shutout of the season. And Tyler and everybody, Flyer fans, improved to 14-2-2 in 19 career games against the Buffalo Sabres. So nice work by him picking up the W. We'll get into the Flyers, the Eagles, the Sixers, and the leftovers with Tyler Zuli as we shut down the show. Flyers win. We're in the crease, 3-0, now 3-1 on the season. Devon Givens with you, final segment on the other side, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Will lug the puck out to center ice. On the right wing, gave it to Eichel. Eichel stepped into the fire line, shot up over the net. Voracek had a chance to tip it up the boards and out, but couldn't do it. Another clearing attempt. Hayes gets it all the way down the ice. That's going to roll into the empty net. He scores! And Kevin Hayes will ice it. The empty net goal by Hayes makes it 3-0 Philadelphia.
So Hayes ices it for the Flyers, ices it for us tonight. See, it played out perfectly. Three goals, three breaks, three comebacks, three highlights for you as we wrap up the show here tonight. After the Flyers win, we are in the crease, as always. And look, I'll say this before we get to AZ and Howell. I'll say this about the Flyers. And I know Mike says this a lot. I know Mike says this all the time. We come on after the Flyers and we talk about Ozzy, I'm sorry. We talk about the Flyers after every game. And I know it's not the Sixers or the Eagles or even the Phillies for that matter when you're following up a game to discuss the games and what you saw, what they did, what you like, what you didn't like, and so on and so forth. I mean, look, we talk about it. We bring it up. Everyone says, why is it that you don't focus on the Flyers? You know, they don't get enough here in the city, like the attention that the others do. Listen, we bring it up. We try to talk about it. It may not be the way you want to talk about it. Heck, it may not even be the person you want talking about it. I'm not Jason Martinez, right? But we know how to talk hockey. We know how to have a conversation about the game, what we saw, who we like, what we didn't like, AV, all that stuff. We can do that. And of course, it's generated by you as well. So, look, we bring it up. You guys don't want to talk about it. You know, that's a shame because when they are winning later on and everybody's, we were talking about it, I'm going to be like, wait a minute, where was everybody at in January? I know it's early, but where was everybody? You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. But hey, we try to bring them up and we mix in the Eagles, the Sixers, Phillies, whatever else is the hot discussion that's going on throughout the day, or something that just simply catches our eye and we want to bring it up and discuss it because that's what we want to do. We try to talk hockey. It's not really, you know, it's not hitting. But tomorrow we have In the Post. We'll talk some Sixer stuff tomorrow after the game when they take on the Boston Celtics for 2, starting at 7 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Doc Rivers has his team back, it seems like. So it's going to be great to see them. All right, let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Ozzy and Howell on the Eagles coaching search. What's up, Ozzy?
Hey, what's up? It's actually Avi with a V.
Avi, what's up, my man?
Yeah, good. All right, so here's a bold one. Wanted to get your thoughts on it. Ben McAdoo.
I'll pass on that one. So but why do you say it?
Well, he's been, you know, he had a really bad falling out with the Giants. You know, I like the Giants. I don't really rule for any specific team, but if I were to choose, I'm from close to New York. But he didn't end well with the Giants, but his first year with the team, he took them to the playoffs and won the NFC East. And, you know, he had his chance, obviously, hopefully, but he has been, I'm assuming, coaching in some capacity for the last 4 years. And if he got another chance,
610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until midnight here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So let me see here as we... So look, where things are right now with the Birds... We focus on Staley. We focus on McDaniels. Allen interview. What's the guy's name? Kellen Moore. Who else? Saw Eric Bieniemy was supposed to interview with the Texans. If that's a good thing, hopefully, you know, that will work out for Deshaun Watson and all, and he'll be okay to stay there, even though it'd be ticked off still that they did it so late.
It's the guy from the Colts, the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
What's his name?
His name, let me get it, say it. Sirianni. Nick.
It's another one.
That's another one. Sirianni. And there's a lot.
Me. Yeah, well, you forgot me.
Yeah, you.
I did get an interview last week.
You did. How'd yours go?
I was there for about 37 hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Good for you.
Okay. Yeah, by hour 24, we were playing like charades.
Yeah.
It wasn't even an interview anymore. I think they brought the Monopoly board out at one point.
Good stuff, man. No, I mean, yeah, you're right. Everyone has been getting interviewed. So. Good for you. I hope you get the job. Don't forget the little. All I want is a t-shirt. No, you know, hoodie, because you know when I get cold, I like to throw the hoodie on.
Of course.
So I'll take an Eagles hoodie from you, and I'll definitely represent. But, yeah, I mean, that's just where they are, man. But Sixers tomorrow as well. So the Sixers, it looks like, Ty, looks like everyone is going to be able to return. Looks like they're going to be able to return. Joel Embiid, Doc Rivers already pointed out that it appears that he's going to be able to play. Seth Curry's still up in the air, but it looks promising. Looks promising that he could play. So that's exciting to have them back. So
and I think Furkan's back tomorrow, isn't he?
Yes, he was supposed to play Sunday. He was cleared to play Sunday against Oklahoma City, but when everything was shut down, obviously, Furkan could not play.
So if Curry plays, they are at 100% full strength?
They're at full strength outside of Dakota Mathias.
Right.
Which doesn't count. With all due respect. And they're right now tied with the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks for the top spot in the Eastern Conference. The Indiana Pacers are half a game behind them, along with the Brooklyn Nets. The Sixers are 9-5 with the Bucks. But the Boston Celtics, who missed a few games, hold the best winning percentage at 667 over the 643 that the Bucks and Sixers have right now. The Pacers, again, half a game behind. The Nets, half a game behind the Pacers at this point. 8-5 for the Pacers, 9-6 for the Nets. And you know the Nets are going to start to heat up now. Kyrie Irving is back as well. And look, they might take some time just because of the fact that they need to now incorporate him into what they're doing, where you've already seen two games of Harden and Durant. I have no concerns. I think they're going to be perfectly fine in figuring this whole thing out. So, Sixers picking up the wins when they did is good. Now you need to beat Boston, these next two. You need to beat Boston. You need to beat Boston. Period. Because the schedule is as such. You have the Celtics starting tomorrow. Then you have the Celtics on Friday. Two-game series at home against the Celtics. Then you go on the road Saturday and Monday to in Detroit. Detroit is 3-10, I believe. Jeremy Grant is playing some phenomenal basketball, but they are not good. Wayne Ellington had a nice night the other day. Dropped like 20-plus. 6 threes. We keep saying go out there and sign Wayne Ellington and just bring him off the bench, let him shoot. He started that game, I believe, but he had 20-something.
Yeah, you've been saying that for probably three seasons.
It seems like it just makes sense. And now maybe he doesn't want to come home and play in front of the home crowd and all of that. But, all right, that's that. So two in Detroit. Then you have the Lakers at home on Wednesday, January 27th, which is an ESPN game. Then Friday, 2 days later, you start a three-game road trip at Minnesota, at Indiana, at Charlotte. None of them are back-to-back, so that is good. They don't have a back-to-back. Well, they have the Charlotte and then Portland back here in Philadelphia. That's a back-to-back Wednesday, Thursday, and then the big game, Saturday, February 6th, Brooklyn comes to town with the trio. Yes, that's going to be fun. I would say I would go down there just to watch it, but I'm sure the girls would just want to watch it on television and we'll just do that. So, yeah, there's that. And after Brooklyn, they go on the road for four. At Sacramento, at Portland, at Phoenix, at Utah.
I'm probably looking at some late night games there that week. Probably some
Sacramento, tens. Portland is late. That's a Tuesday, Thursday. I'll see you later. You figure that's...
Well, you'll be here before the game, right?
Well, actually, it's Tuesday. It's Beers with Bob. Yeah, I guess I would
You'd be here for about two hours. Yeah, 7 till like 9:45.
Yeah, so I'll be here for that to lead you into the Sacramento game. Same with the Portland after Cousins Corner on Thursday. And Saturday is Phoenix. Monday is Utah, 9 o'clock. So we'll lead you in 6 to 9, 6 to 8:45 with that one. So the schedule is, yeah, Boston, Detroit, LA.
It's challenging.
Yeah, win these games, folks.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, with COVID probably going to hit every team at some point over the course of the next couple of weeks. It sounds horrible to say, but you have to win those games. Because I'm sure everybody in Atlanta and everybody in, who was it the Saturday prior, in Denver, was probably saying the same thing. You've got to beat the Sixers.
Right.
Because this is your opportunity to beat a good team that's down some of its key players.
Now, this was updated yesterday on ESPN.com. This is doesn't look like it's the ESPN Plus, so we're safe here. We can get in. We can get in there because I'm not paying for that. The company should just pay for it, right? And just all of us be able to jump in there, right? Anyway, ESPN.com updated yesterday. Number one team in the NBA, Los Angeles Lakers, 11-3 record right now. That's fair. Number two, the Clippers, 10-4. Also fair. Number three, the Milwaukee Bucks at 9-4. The Boston Celtics, 8-4 at 5. Your Philadelphia 76ers at number 5, 9-5 record. You know, and that they're 9-2 when Embiid plays, 0-3 when he sits. Okay? This week they have Boston, and Detroit. Brooklyn is 6th with the 8-6 record, the move being made. This week they played Milwaukee. They now have 2 in Cleveland. And then Miami at home. So, the Sixers are right there. And by the way, the Phoenix Suns ranked 8th in that one.
I know you're looking forward to that 5 o'clock Saturday game.
Yeah, we'll be sitting all parked, sitting down and checking that one out. That's definite. That's a definite. That's an easy one. So you would be too.
You should do a live stream or something during the game. Tell everybody how your favorite team is the Phoenix Suns, and
they know
you're not a Sixers fan.
A live tweet. Phoenix Suns favorite team. Check it out. 5 o'clock against the Sixers. The only game I don't want them to win. The Sixers know it, so it's okay. Right? Sixers know it. It's all good. And again, I never apologize for it, and I won't. All right. We are... Let's get ready to get to it. Real fast, because we got Elbow Shaferi back in here. Brian, one more time, says... All right, sorry, last one. My homie was a Broncos diehard since Elway and Sammy Winder. Wow. He needs to tell us about his trip to Mile High. Says that Cutler point he made was his at the time, and he was absolutely right. He quit the Broncos immediately and came home to the Birds. So, all right, there you go. So we got him in there. Yeah, we have a few more tweets. We'll get them in. Yeah, we'll get them in as we get out of here. But it's time for leftovers of the evening. What do we have, Tyler?
All right, we're going to start in the NBA, as NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said on, today, and the story says on Tuesday, because you want a story to last longer than a day, but he said it today, that the league has discussed giving players the COVID-19 vaccine in order to educate and influence the public. He did a virtual conference on Sportico, and he said... quote, in the African-American community, there has been an enormously disparate impact from COVID, but now, somewhat perversely, there's been an enormous resistance to vaccinations in the African-American community for understandable historical reasons. He adds that, quote, there would be a real public health benefit to getting some very high-profile African-Americans vaccinated.
That is very true. The reluctance because of of family history, all of that, where, you know, the concerns of doing that, the unknown of the, of it in general, because you just, it's a new thing. We don't have enough information on it for you to want to just jump out there and get it done. And then the other part is, where I would say he's not telling the full truth, is you want your guys to get it so they don't get COVID and you can go out there and play the games.
Yeah, so far 15 games have been canceled this season, with 14 of them coming in the last 9 days.
One of them being the Sixers.
Yes.
And two of the other Sixers should have been canceled.
Definitely Denver.
And then the first Miami game.
Probably the first Miami game, too, but
yep.
Denver for sure.
100%. Boston, they just said, oh, go. Now, there's no funny business. It's just, why not just cancel it? This is what you have these extra days for. This is why you only put out half of the schedule, for reasons like this. Go ahead. All right.
All right, next story. This one is a bit of a feel-good story here. Delonte West is now working at the drug rehabilitation center in Florida that he attended after Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban helped the former NBA player kind of get back on track. So Wes was treated at the Rebound Therapy Center in Florida. That started last September after he and Mark Cuban had met back up. He got reconnected with his mom. And now he currently has a job at that rehabilitation center.
Well, I'm happy for him. We've heard and seen a lot of tough things about Delonte West. The mental part of things for him, that's unfortunate. So we hope that he's able to get back on track, and this is a really good start. No matter what you think about Mark Cuban, hats off to him for helping him out, helping him get his feet back underneath him, reuniting him with his mother, and putting him in a position where he was able to do what he did at the facility and now start to work there as well. So I'm happy for Delonte West. One of the greats in the Big Five for what he, Jameer, and company did with Phil Martelli's St. Joe's team. It was sad to see what he was going through, but I'm happy he's able to bounce back.
All right, so we're going to go from NBA basketball to college basketball. As the NCAA announced today, its dates for the preliminary rounds of the 2021 March Madness, which we talked about a little bit ago, is going to happen exclusively in the Indianapolis and surrounding areas. So here are the dates. So stop me, Devon, when things sound odd, when things sound a little bit different. The tournament is going to tip off on Thursday, March 18th, with the four play-in games. Mm-hmm. So not terribly odd, just a day off. The first round follows March 19th and 20th, which is Friday and Saturday. And the second round begins March 21st and 22nd, which is Sunday and Monday.
All right, so I'm looking at it now. Sunday and Monday. All right, look, they have to get creative. So I'm not mad at anything that they do other than they're just trying to push it and get them back out there, like we just talked about with the NBA and Adam Silver. But they're trying things. None of us have done this before. We don't know. So I get it. I get it. I'll be tuned in. The unfortunate part is, Ty, all we really know is Gonzaga's good, Baylor's good, Villanova's good. Duke
is
it.
I think there's a big drop-off after those three.
And Michigan is actually pretty good. But we really haven't had a chance to sit and get into it like we normally do with college basketball because of all the breaks that they've had.
Yeah. You know, by the way, a team that I would recommend getting invested in just, I think, broke a school record this evening for most three-pointers hit in a game. The Alabama Crimson Tide have very quietly won 9 straight games and they're ranked again.
Yeah, I saw that.
By the way, so the Sweet 16 will then be played on March 27th and 28th. The Elite 8 will be the 29th and 30th. And the Final Four will be played on April 3rd and April 5th. All of those games will be either played at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Hinkle Fieldhouse, or Lucas Oil Stadium.
It just has to be in Indianapolis, that's all. Bottom line.
So, what I really wanted to ask you with this story as we wrap up this story here, does it make sense to play the games back-to-back-to-back like that in the first round? Because I understand the point is they're going to try to get these games moving as quickly as possible. because the large majority of teams will then go home once they lose,
yeah,
which keeps the population of the bubble
yeah.
decreased. But
because normally you'll do Thursday, Saturday, Friday, Sunday
right.
as the teams play.
But my question is,
yes.
if the games are going to start on the 18th and not finish until the 5th, you will have, well, two teams there specifically for the better part of 3 weeks.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but you know they've thought about all of this stuff before they even, you know, put this out there. I'm assuming it'll work, right?
I hope so.
I hope so.
Need a tournament. Well. final story of the evening. The Dallas Stars will finally open their season on January 22nd against the Nashville Predators. Their first four games had to be rescheduled due to a COVID outbreak on the team. If you remember, Devon, before the season started last week, I told you that 27 players tested positive around the NHL, and 17 of them were on the Dallas Stars roster. So they're finally going to get the opportunity to play. I saw a stat. This one is kind of amazing. Prior to tonight's game, the Boston Bruins and the Dallas Stars are the only team to not score at even strength, which is telling because the Dallas Stars have not played yet.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's a good thing.
By the way, mm-hmm. the opponent for that game, January 22nd, against the Dallas Stars, like I said, will be the Nashville Predators. The Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes game tonight got canceled due to COVID-19. They played last night, and at the time, only two players, Mikael Granlund for Nashville and Jordan Staal for Carolina, were on the COVID protocol list and didn't play. But this game was postponed due to an abundance of caution to ensure the health and safety of players, coaches, and game day personnel, said the NFL in a statement. This will be the fifth game postponed in the NHL this year, the first game that is not related to the Dallas Stars. So the team, the Stars, are going to finally get a chance to play.
Now they
had their game shut down because of COVID.
That's the carryover for these leagues from 2020 with the coronavirus hitting us all. It's not going to wait, folks. It's going to take some time. Let's all try to get through this together and enjoy the sports when we do have them. Man.
And those, my friends, are Tuesday's leftovers.
All right. There you go, man. Tyler, great job as always with the leftovers. We like to shut the show down with the leftovers as we get ready to get out of here. Tomorrow we'll be back at it starting at 6 o'clock ahead of the Sixers game as they host the Boston Celtics, 7 o'clock tip right here on the Fanatic with, it seems like, everybody returning to the team. Flyers win again tonight by a score of 3-0, a shutout for backup goaltender Brian Elliott. They are now back on the ice in Boston, right? In Boston. It's Boston week with the squads. In Boston on Thursday. Flyers in Boston. Sixers here against Boston, hosting Boston. So we'll have you covered with both Boston teams, both on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as it runs through with the Sixers and the Flyers. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 6. Thanks to all the callers, all the tweeters, all the listeners. And again, Flyers win 3-0 tonight, improved to 3-1. Tyler, we'll talk to you tomorrow right here, 97.5 The Fanatic. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.